Blog Talk Radio.
What's good, Giblets? It's the one, the only, who the fuck else, featuring. And I know I'm late. It says, uniformly speaking, that I'm supposed to be here around 5 o'clock, but I'm not. I've got a lot to discuss, and that's normally how I open this show up anyways, right? Uniformed way of doing things. Anyways, folks, we are less than a week away from WrestleMania 34. We are 2 weeks away from Ring of Honor's Supercard, Kenny Omega versus Cody Rhodes. And yes, I just mixed in Ring of Honor with WWE's discussion. Forgive me. Zack Sabre Jr., I love it, man. Flipping off the crowd. You can't go any better than that young man, I swear. Also, Kota Ibushi. I'm not sure if Kenny Omega is going to pull the trigger. I don't think that that's going to happen, folks. I'm not sure. But I do know at Ring of Honor you'll see Dalton Castle. You'll see Marty Scurll. You will also see Will Ospreay. And you will also see my personal favorites, Kenny Omega and Cody Rhodes, go at it. If you think Kenny Omega's match with Chris Jericho was angelic and just painted a picture for you better than Picasso or the Mona Lisa, you know, better than Mona Lisa, better than a Picasso painting, then all I can tell you is tune in, watch it, and enjoy. So, the title reads, make the most of this thing we call pro wrestling. I'll get into that a little bit later when it's the off-the-rails portion, Monday's Wrestle Radio Edition. I'm also going to touch a little bit on sports. The fact that there's a commingling, there already is a signing of Lesnar going back to UFC. There's so much things. There's so many things that I would like to discuss with you as far as in regards to what I think of Mr. Lesnar. I think, you know, he was a great addition for, you know, drawing a crowd and all that stuff. But it's devaluing the championship, keeping him as a champion because of his attendance and because it's so hard to tell crowds nowadays and who they like and who they don't like. But that was the first subject that I truly really wanted to discuss with you is the fact is WrestleMania 34 is coming up and you have individuals such as Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar to wrestle each other for it. You also have the return of Samoa Joe, and it's not guaranteed that he's going to outwardly come out and appear, but now that everyone on their mother is well aware of it, sites have sorted it, such as WrestlingNews.co, Bleacher Report, and Cageside Seats, and also Garrowick.net. A whole bunch of the fucking websites have made a big deal of Samoa Joe's imminent return from his injury that happened and occurred before the Royal Rumble in Philly. So hopefully Joe can begin feuding with Roman. And eventually, hopefully, they put the title on Joe. Not saying it's a guarantee, but what I'm getting at is it's the weekend before WrestleMania, and I always knew going into this, even before I started Wrestle Radio, that the week before WrestleMania is the most vital storytelling adventure, and that is you will start seeing already on Monday Night Raw, the builds will start getting better. And I consulted with a few people that I rode with to New Breed this week, New Breed Wrestling in Eldon, Missouri. And then we shot the breeze, we discussed certain random subjects, but when we talked about wrestling, a new partner on the road, as I like to call him, discussed how SmackDown Live's roster hasn't really, I mean, it's a very weird show to watch, because and he pointed out some things that made sense. Dolph Ziggler and Baron Corbin are just there. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens were feuding, then they weren't feuding. Now they're back together. So if I understood this correctly, SmackDown Live is the show that has very weird story builds. Builds that make sense, but you're really not sure if it's going to carry on afterwards, into Raw and SmackDown Live. So it is the week of WrestleMania. People are buzzing about Charlotte versus Asuka on SmackDown Live. Then you've got Nia versus Alexa on Monday Night Raw side of things for the Women's Championship. You have the tag team titles that are on the line. Will Braun Strowman use Samoa Joe as a partner? I don't know. There's just a lot of things going on the week before WrestleMania. And one of those things is, as I mentioned earlier, I'm not so sure many people are going to miss Lesnar. Some will, some won't. He's there for a reason. He did get good heat last week when he came out and basically beat the fuck out of Roman. Roman was handcuffed. He couldn't defend himself. So then Lesnar gives the angle, okay, well, I'm just going to go with what the company tells me to do. Can you fault the guy for doing that? No. Can you fault the guy for having shitty attendance? Yes. I'm going to say it because the week before WrestleMania, you have all these wonderful matches building up, and not just on main's side of things, not just the main roster. You've got NXT. You've got the Dusty Rhodes Classic, the Street Profits versus Authors of Pain. Then you also have Sanity. And I just got a question here. That's where there's a long pause. Yes, so Sanity is one of my favorite wrestling factions, and the reason is because they're off the wall, they're misfits, they're the broken parts that no one really wanted to see, right? And that's why I think they're a good fit in NXT, because they need that dynamic on that side in the tag team division. So Street Profits, Authors of Pain, Sanity. Holy crap on a cracker. If it was versus Undisputed New Era, that'd be really good. I mean, they put on a damn decent match. Well, we're going to pause 10 seconds for station identification, where I find out who Sanity is facing in the Dusty Rhodes Classic Tournament right here on Monday's edition of Wrestle Radio.
Bullet Club 4444.
Okay, enough of the music play. I'm not a DJ, although I think I'm a pretty damn good one. All right. According to the classic bracket, the Street Profits versus the Authors of Pain, Roderick Strong and Pete Dunne versus Sanity. A very unlikely team could win the Dusty Rhodes Classic, which would be badass. Last year's champions would be, yes, the Authors of Pain. Now, there's a return that I was kind of pinpointing when it would happen. Johnny Gargano returned to basically confront Tommaso Ciampa. You can already see in that match coming true. A lot of people would have thought Andrade Cien Almas would have been going one-on-one with formerly defunct roster member of NXT, Johnny Gargano. It didn't happen. because Ciampa and Gargano can put on a hell of a match. They used to be tag team partners in NXT, and that kind of went awry because of the jealousy from Tommaso Ciampa when he feuded with Johnny Gargano. But anyways, so the Dusty Rhodes Classic, the winner is guaranteed a number one contender spot for the NXT Tag Team Championships, which, you know, it's fine. I guess you want to put the gold on Undisputed New Era by some absence. It gives the crowd something to jeer about, although the crowds in both NXT and Maine are half and half when it comes to cheering, that is. Anyways, so NXT has a lot to present before WrestleMania's TakeOver. TakeOvers have actually helped NXT as far as a product is and where the direction of the show is going. You've got Ember Moon going one-on-one with Shayna Baszler. Ember Moon is basically not one of my favorites, neither is Baszler, but I guess, you know, like the rest of us, I will just sit and watch the awesomeness that is Ember Moon. And when I say just sit back and watch the awesomeness that is Ember Moon, the Eclipse is basically she jumps off the top rope and gives a stunner. So it's an airborne aerial stunner, for those of you curious about the move. Anyways, so I'm excited about that match because there's, I'm not going to lie, that match is my least favorite because I really wanted Nikki Cross to be involved and Lacey Evans to make it a fatal four-way, which would have been cooler. And that's just my opinion. You don't want to clusterfuck the hell out of an event, especially with women on the card. What else can I look forward to? Okay, so Cien Almas, Andre Cien Almas, Andrade, I fuck up his name all the time. My apologies, dude. With Zelina Vega, is going one-on-one with Aleister Black. I don't know what to make of him just yet. I can tell you it's really cool, you know, the way he does his entrance and how he's mysterious and dark and very first satanic gimmick to get through the door. You know, that wouldn't have flown the coop if a certain somebody had a say. But I'm glad that he's there. I'm glad Aleister is there. Well, Tommy and whoever you wanted to recognize him by. But NXT TakeOver New Orleans is going to be the bomb diggity. I've got floor seats for that. A friend of mine and I are going. It's his very first NXT TakeOver. It's my fifth or sixth. It doesn't matter what the number is. I'm going to have a damn good time watching this card basically be the awesome side of New Orleans. And I'm pretty sure WrestleCon is going to be a lot of fun too. But I still say SmackDown Live is the most underrated, underappreciated side of WWE's main roster. I like it. I like the fact that they don't overcomplicate shit. And I like the things that, you know, they keep it basic. On Raw side of things, you've got Ronda Rousey and Kurt Angle going head-to-head with CEO and COO, so Stephanie McMahon and Triple H. It's not Triple H's and Stephanie's first walk in the park, but we were discussing this on the road trip, you know, from Eldon back to Kansas City. Some of us felt that Ronda could have benefited by going through NXT, but we realize, you know, her name's a draw. She wants to make an impact. So WrestleMania 34. Man alive, this company, according to one of my programs that I'm going to pull up here, I'm going to see when the very first date, WrestleMania 34, yeah, not WrestleMania 34, but according to this, in the very first get-go, and I've been pulling up a WrestleMania 32. I had to pull up a random one because you know me. Okay, so WrestleMania 1993. WrestleMania, the very first WrestleMania. March 31st, 1985. That's, you know, that was when it was back in Madison Square Garden with Muhammad Ali as a referee. The main event, you see Hulk Hogan in a picture of Mr. T. Mr. T's picking up Roddy Piper. So imagine that. On the way from WrestleMania, well, then that would have meant, hang on a second, WrestleMania 2. It doesn't make sense, folks, to me. It's just kind of odd, if you ask me, that it didn't start in 1984, considering that would make more sense year-wise. But anyways, so March 31st, 1985, holy crap on a cracker. That's a long time for a company to be running a pay-per-view. That's over three decades of history. Most of the landscape has been, most WrestleManias have either been in Florida, New York, or California, according to statistics. That's where WWE has visited the most time for WrestleManias. And also, Hall of Fame, I don't think, let's see here. The latest one that I'm going to pull up is WrestleMania 33. They have a different section for Hall of Fame. If you flip it over, folks, it's very, very interesting. Let's see. WrestleMania 3, where Andre and Hogan went at it. A very famous body slam. Not to make this entirely true, but yep. Programs don't lie, man. From Dallas to Orlando to whatever program, it's going to still be the same when they make these things. Anyways, 34 times we have seen WrestleMania. Well, we're about to see it for the 34th time. But this is the first time, and I'm going to say this tonight, where fans have actually engaged their vocals about this in a positive way. And I say this, you know, with, I tend to be the guy that goes to WrestleMania thinking, well, this match was good, but, and these matches were great, but holy crap, the other matches, not so good. The quality, man, was just terrible from the WrestleManias that I've attended. And I've attended 20, 29 through current. So I know exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to stating my opinion on how certain things went. Like the matches that were aligned for 29, the match that I remember the most, CM Punk versus The Undertaker. The matches that are the match that I really didn't care for, The Rock versus John Cena Part 2, not really a fan. Or what, I wasn't really a fan because, you know, it gets late at night. You sit there for almost 5 hours because it's a spectacle. Just like how you would go to a New Japan event like WK12. Of course, the audience would be a lot different in the way that things are set up for WK12 or WK the events, which is the Japanese equivalent to WrestleMania. The names that show up. Of course, over the years at WrestleMania, those have changed. But this is the first WrestleMania where fans are actually getting excited about because the company, WWE itself, has given us, the fans, the viewing public, Shinsuke Nakamura versus AJ Styles, Asuka versus Charlotte. And you talk about matches that people were thinking of, probably formulating, never thought, okay, well, it'd be cool if Shinsuke went against AJ. Fans have been saying this for almost 2 years. New Japan, they did face each other, but this is WrestleMania, so what's the difference? If you haven't seen these two go one-on-one, you saw AJ Styles versus Finn Balor at a pay-per-view. I believe it was Extreme Rules. Finn Balor won that match. There just have been teasers, little teasers, over the years of fantasy matchups during Survivor Series. You saw Team Blue versus Team Red, obviously, which, you know, is now the withstanding tradition. You saw matches or matchups in your head thinking, I wish I could see this all the time. But then, you know, it wouldn't be special. So I guess they save the occasional or the showcase matches for pay-per-views. WrestleMania 34, for the first time, ladies and gentlemen, is starting to make sense. The Women's Battle Royal, which is the first in its history. They had the Royal Rumble. Now they're having the Women's Battle Royal. So, I mean, a lot of things have changed over the course since Mania 29, when the Shield was first introduced to WWE Universe as the heel group that everyone just wanted to destroy and completely get rid of. I, on the other hand, really enjoyed them. You know why? Because when you have a group of friends, you can emulate their mannerisms and have fun with it. But since Mania 29, the fans have been able to see for themselves really like what the value of quality is in WrestleMania. Sometimes it was, you know, it's gone up, sometimes it's gone down. Like Sting versus Triple H. They had a lot of interference, a lot of run-ins. Some may not understand why the result the way it was. I'm just going to leave that one alone. It's a very sensitive subject when it's brought up or discussed. I will say this, though. If you had the opportunity to face a company rival that literally was the reason why your company was flailing up and down like a fish out of water, then you take that opportunity to do whatever you need to do and get it out of your system. That's all I'm going to say. And that's regarding the situation between Sting and Hunter, which I'm sure I don't know, and I don't speak for Triple H. I don't speak for Sting. But if those two would like to tell the story about that match, then I don't know if it'll get personal. I don't know if it would benefit me or the other fans curious to know why that match was a thing. Just like, you know, The Undertaker versus Bray Wyatt. There are so many odd matches going on during WrestleMania 31. 32, okay, the ladder match and then the Hell in a Cell. Those to me were the main attraction matches. 33, you had the tag team match, the ladder match, where the Hardys returned, which was pretty cool. But, like, 34 is the first WrestleMania in a while that fans are finally saying, okay, cool, we have this match coming up to look forward to. We have Nakamura versus AJ Styles, John Cena versus The Undertaker. I don't know what my thoughts should be on this, but I'm going to guarantee I'm not wishy-washy about stating my opinion. The Undertaker is one of the most valued superstars in WWE's history. Yeah, because Hogan had controversy, but he'll be back. He'll be making appearances according to certain sources. But when you talk about valued superstars, it's a debate on who is valued as the most important person in WWE history. I don't think The Undertaker overshadows Hogan, but when you look at his legacy, guys, gals, fans around the world, The Undertaker's name is the most respected name. It's a much better gimmick than what he was in WCW. When he came in 91 at Survivor Series, and people did not know what to make of him. The awe, the mystique, ambiance that is The Undertaker, or was The Undertaker, and still is. The mind games that he would play with Diesel before WrestleMania. The mind games that he played with Kane. It sets the tone for what will happen at WrestleMania 34. John Cena has nothing to gain from this win, other than That's another bauble in his metaphorical crown as a competitor. Nothing to take away from John. He obviously worked hard for 16 championships. People debate over him nonstop. So, people, I hate to say this, he wins because you're talking about him, you're giving him importance, and you're giving John Cena a legacy. What legacy? The fact that, you know, he did some wonderful things for charities. He appears on time. He's very resourceful. He won 16 championships. I mean, you can. Ric Flair is the only other person that can say that he has won 16 championships. But like I said, there's matches that I'm looking forward to, and there's matches that I really can't say anything negative, really. At this point, I mean, the only eyebrow that I've raised is the John Cena Taker situation. Braun Strowman versus The Bar was a partner of his choosing. I don't know who it's going to be. But I do know that Braun Strowman is the modern-day Andre the Giant. Like, attraction-wise, he's big. He's a monster among men. This guy, I've never seen people just, you know, toss, tear up, destroy their opponents the way he does. He's a big guy. And he, you know, it's scary that he can do a drop kick. It's scary that he can chase after you at lightning quick speed for a guy his size. You know, when he came in, he was one of the Rosebuds. He delved in being a Wyatt family member. And now the big man won a battle royal, a tag team battle royal at that. So who, you know, who is he going to pick? Seth Rollins, oh yes, I forgot the triple threat matches on both ends, which is kind of funny. Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, The Miz. These three dudes can fucking work, not just work the match, but give the crowd something we actually want to see. Now, who's going to come up, who's going to come out victorious? I don't know. But I'm anxious to see that one because you never know what you're going to see in a WWE ring when it comes to watching at WrestleMania. Trust me, from experience, I thought The Undertaker was going to destroy CM Punk. Ended up being match of the night, in my opinion. Just kind of how, like, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Macho Man Randy Savage. A lot of people reference that as that stealing the show versus Andre getting slammed by Hogan. You know, very historical moment in wrestling history. The triple threat match with the U.S. title, for the U.S. title, Jinder Mahal versus Bobby Roode versus Randy Orton. I don't know. That one kind of seems suspect. But when you have Bobby Roode involved, makes it all the more glorious, all puns intended. So, I got some time left in my little discussion before I hit off the rails Monday, Wrestle Radio Edition. I'm going to say the advertisement. For those of you wanting to get a lot of good t-shirts, not just WWE from the shop, go to ProWrestlingTees.com. ProWrestlingTees.com. It can feature Monster Factory gear. It can feature Kurt Gannon, his gear as well. It's $19.99, no shipping, sizes small through large. If you want any more information on the website, I can read it to you from here. 2XL is $3.50. This is the shipping cost. 3XL is $3.75. 4X is the unisex t-shirt, only $4.50. 5X, unisex t-shirt, only at $4.75, and it goes across for all those shirts. Oh yeah, I believe it's time, ladies and gentlemen, but I'm going to continue the advertisement just for a little bit. Those of you wanting to attend the Monster Factory camps in April and July, April 20th and 21st is those dates. For more information, go to Eventbrite. If the tickets are already sold out, they're already sold out. July 20th and 21st is the next dates where students can come the day before and train. They can also contact Annie Cage through Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, whatever, but make sure you get to the point. For those of you wanting to train at a school in Kansas City, you can go to NWLTPC. That's NWLTPC, located in North Kansas City, Missouri. For those of you wanting to visit the shop and go on WWE Network to get yourself a preloaded card, which will get you 3 months free, your first month free. So that's 4 months of wrestling content. You will get WrestleMania. The following pay-per-views, Extreme Rules, Tables, Ladders and Chairs, Money in the Bank, so on and so forth. It's worth the investment because you also get Ring of Honor, PWG, ICW, AWA, IWA Mid-South, and much, much more content on WWENetwork.com. Make sure you have a valid username and password. For those of you wanting to kick cancer square in the ass, you can do so. Visit the following websites, Susan G. Komen and Cure for Connor. Make sure you kick cancer square in the ass by donating your time, your money, your ability to walk and run. Make sure you do the marathons. Make sure you do everything in your power to donate, walk, run, do whatever you can to kick cancer square in the ass. Also, sponsor of WrestleMania 34 and NXT and 205 Live and all of WWE, MakeAWish.com. If your child has a wish and he or she wants to make it come true, don't be the asshole who doesn't do so. Go to MakeAWish.com, type in the name of the superstar which you wish to come through. Make sure you go to MakeAWish.com. Make your child's wish come true. All right, monkeys in the trunk. I said truck. I'm pretty sure Ray did. No. It's right there. I said it right here on the internet. Sorry, what do you want me to do, right? Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. Okay, folks, so on today's Monday episode of Wrestle Radio, I'm going to discuss what making the most of this thing we call pro wrestling is all about. When you first start in this business, you're kind of new, you're wet behind the ears, you're somebody that doesn't know shit about what the companies you're about to work for are going to entail. It's kind of a foregone conclusion that when you start wrestling, you're not really sure where you're going to end up and how well it's going to affect you as an individual. How is your life going to change? How has it changed since you've been in pro wrestling? I can tell you, you know, you meet a lot of people. You're going to be on the road a lot. You're going to be traveling to the East Coast. You're going to be traveling to the West Coast. Hell, you might even be traveling overseas. But one thing's universal with wrestling, and that is the grind it takes to get you where you need to be. The, you know, spending the money on your gimmick is one thing, but making effort to constantly evolve your gimmick to make yourself stand out, you know, whereas others, most of their goal is to stay local and, you know, establish a working relationship with them and the promoter that they're familiar with. But I don't think that's really, like I said, my perception on pro wrestling is going to be different than a Jeremy Wyatt's or a Howlett's, you know, version of what wrestling really truly is, or a Marty Bell's, or better yet, a Scotty Z, or a Danny Cage, or a Brutal Bob Evans, or anybody's perception of pro wrestling was to them when they first started. The stories are going to be different. They're going to be funny. They're going to be serious. They're going to be brutal. They're going to be real. So how do you make the most of this thing we call pro wrestling? I said that might vary. It might end up being something completely different than what you're going to be accustomed to. A lot of people, when they first get into pro wrestling, and myself included, will think, I'm going to be the next big thing. I'm going to make this work. I'm going to make a shit ton of money. My thing was, I just hope I fucking survive. And I, you know, past the past is what it is. Some people will still hold things against you, even if you said, I've forgiven you and tried to make amends with the situation. So you know what the best solution is? When you're first starting out in the business, there's no solution. You just learn as you go. That's the only thing I can tell you about pro wrestling is, it is you are consistently, on a constant basis, learning something new every single time. You're not only learning how to take bumps a certain way, you are trying to get yourself out of your comfort zone. You're learning how to get yourself out of your comfort zone. You're learning what you see on TV is not going to be what you end up doing as a performer. And you also learn, okay, well, this guy or gal can't take my move, so what substitute can I do? Not only move substitution, but also attitudes around the business. You learn very quickly who you can trust and who you can't. You also learn that on the road, if the conversation is engaging, people will be talking back and forth with you like nothing. But if you have the inkling that it's quiet because you're the one talking and it's a subject that no one fucking knows about or cares for, you can sense it. It's just like being on the road on a mini vacation, if you will. One of the other things that's really cool, you know, about making the most of it is, even if you're not involved in the business at all and you're selling merchandise, and people tend to frown upon that. They say, well, I don't sell merchandise. I have someone else sell it for me. Then again, you know, that person could cheat you out of your profit. That person could also not sell it at the proper price. So you learn things. You learn to appreciate, learn to be grateful. You learn to say thank you, learn to be like, okay, cool. This is part of learning, you know, growing up in the business is you don't have to be a name cut from the cloth of a Flair or a Von Erich or a Snuka or a Hogan for that matter too. But you can also learn how to make the most out of your situation. Now granted, you can talk a good game and you can be the best wrestler in the ring, but if you don't make the most of what you have during, before, and after, what purpose are you serving? What purpose are you serving in wrestling? What I'm referring to is there's guys and gals that are just, you know, well, I can cut corners here. Might as well cut corners on this thing we call wrestling. And it ends up hurting them. Because certain fans can be the fans that don't care as long as they get a good show. They're basic fans. I'm the type of fan that'll let you know if you suck or if you're terrible. Does that make a difference on, or does that hinder the ability of the person performing? No. But if there's more than one person saying, this guy or gal just seems like he or she's just going through the motions and they don't care. It seems like they don't train at all. They seem like they just show up when there's a show, and it just shows. Because what I'm getting at is, guys, there are certain people that go through their entire life just half-assing things and not really appreciating what they have in front of them. Then there's guys like my friend who felt bad that he did not have merchandise to sell to the fans of New Breed, but he made I guess, the gesture of saying on Facebook, I'm really sorry I didn't have anything for you guys. There will be stuff for you guys next time. This, that, the other. So that right there says that my friend, Kurt Gannon, is making the most of his situation because he's very, very hungry to have a success or a successful career in the world of wrestling. Some people are just like, well, I do wrestling on the side. You know, it's one of my weekend things. It's not a fucking hobby, man. Wrestling should be your, you know, not your back door, but like be like, okay, I want to make this work. So how am I going to serve the promoters before I think of them serving me? It's a very difficult question, but it's very simple answers. Put your merchandise behind you, in front of you, not just merchandise, but sell your gimmick to whomever will believe it. That means the audience. Kids are your bread and butter, man. They believe everything. They don't like you, and you're the heel. Okay, you did your job. But what else can you do? How can you be a success? How do you make the most of your time with pro wrestling? Go to seminars. Make sure that when you go to these seminars, you bring a notebook, write down the bullet point in your head, be like, okay, what sticks out to me? What do I need to improve myself? What area did he cover that I needed work on? Questions, you know, are to be answered by trainers and higher-ups, right? Ask anyone a question. Whether you, you know, are unsure of what you're doing in pro wrestling, whether you're not quite there in your head and you're thinking, well, I need to ask this question because I'm not sure what I need to do to improve. Why am I stuck? Why am I stagnant? Why am I complacent? Trust me from experience, there are some people that believe that when it comes to making the most out of their situation, they don't really adhere to jumping out of their comfort zone because why? It's easy to go with what's familiar, and that's fine. Some people are not risk takers. Some people say, well, see what happens when you take a risk? This is what happens. And wrestling is a risk in itself. Do you know why? Because even if you're a manager, you take the risk of getting injured. You take the risk of getting bumped around by guys who probably don't like you. You also take the risk of being away from your family and creating a wedge in between you and your family. So all in all, if you're not able to make the most of it while you're on the road, then how are you going to make the most of it when you're back with your family and you have nothing else left to do? See, what I firmly believe is that wrestling isn't for everyone. Some people believe, you know, wrestling is up to the guys who look like a wrestler, who portray the image, if you will, of a manager, or portray the image of, well, I don't really think referees have a uniform look unless you want to look like the Fountain of Youth, like John Cone. But the point is, if you don't make the most of this thing we call pro wrestling, you're missing the boat. Making the most of it means instead of just being one-sided with our viewpoints as workers, man, we need to all somewhat expand on what the fans like and what they don't like. And you can judge based on the reaction that you engage upon with your crowd. Depending on where you're at, it emits a reaction of boo, hiss, yay, nay. It doesn't sound exactly that horrific, but what I'm saying is you gotta, if you are still in this business, learn. You still have to learn and adapt. Otherwise, all the hard work that you put into putting your shit together, all the hard work that you put into making yourself this believable character that you came up with, or that a promoter came up with, it goes to waste. And I've seen this happen a few times because some guys will be like, well, what do you think? What did you think? It's kind of a death trap, as you know, as a current fan, to tell a worker what we thought, since, you know, I used to be a former worker, yeah. But do I kind of fear telling workers how to do their job if they're already set in their ways? Sometimes yes, and sometimes I don't. Because if you're honest with them, some will take the criticism in whatever, however they take the criticism. Other workers will be like, well, this is the way it was intended to be because the bigger picture, this is the bigger picture. And this is how it's supposed to be. So in other words, I'm kind of weary of treading into that territory because this is something the workers work extremely hard on when they train. This is something that they build, you know, they build themselves for. And other times it's interesting to hear the reaction after you tell them, I don't like this. I really thought that it was like, you know, match was lengthy, or I think you could have done better in this area or that area of your match. I think that you did really good starting off, getting some heat, blah, 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 blah. And that aspect, it's not too hard. But in certain aspects of telling them, like, okay, you should have done this move and that move, that's not making the most of being a fan. I'm just saying, if they want honest opinion on it, like, okay, what should I have done differently that I'm going to tell you? If your match was garbage, then I'm going to not hesitate to tell you that I either was put to sleep, or it could have been better if you added a little more heat to your match, or had, or if you didn't rush as much. It's like going to a movie. You're going to get different opinions from different kind of moviegoers. Some pertain really to horror flicks. Some pertain to romance. Some, you know, they pertain to romantic comedies. They're just comedies by themselves, kids' movies. Same thing with fans. We all pertain to something so different. And here's my thing about that. Whenever you try and tell someone something nowadays to get them to have them feel like they made the most out of their career, and then you talk to them and say one thing or two, either turns into a heated debate, or here's my personal favorite, they are the ones who sit there and ask you their opinion and then blow up in your face when you tell them you didn't like a certain something. I guess presentation is everything, right? It all depends on how the fan presents it as well. Sometimes you just got to make the most of this thing called pro wrestling by traveling, getting to know other workers, just getting a feel for how other people's opinions will form, not just opinions, but how, what type of wrestling fan they are. It's difficult, some might say, being a fan and a former worker, because you know a little bit of the inner workings of how certain things will work, not just in WWE, but wrestling in general, because you already know, if you've been through any formal wrestler training, form of wrestling training before, that you have beginning, which is the baby faces shine. Or if it's one of those build matches, you have a heel start the fucking heat early on. And you also know, okay, there's comeback, there's a few falsies in between said comebacks. And then, okay, what's your setup? What's your finish? See, it becomes a fucking sickness when you watch WWE Raw and you know what they're trying to give to the general audience, right? A fucking show. A show that tells you a story from point A to point Z. And sometimes the message that they give you is, okay, we'll have guys just stand out there and give 20-minute fucking promos, and then you have probably 5 or 6 matches, and then you 2 main events. Sometimes that's the case, watching it as, you know, like that as a fan. Making the most of it as a fan, meaning just enjoy it. Don't try to overanalyze shit. It's kind of hard. It's easier said than done. Like I said, if you're a former worker and you see what's presented in front of you, you kind of just have this expectation of what the show could be or could, you know, end up being. So there's a lot of things that will I just got informed of the best thing ever. Unfortunately, Dean Ambrose will not be able to appear at the WrestleMania Access Premium VIP Autograph Session on Sunday, April 8th at 10 a.m. However, we are pleased to inform you that Sting and Ric Flair will appear at this Premium VIP Autograph Session. Your existing Dean Ambrose Premium will still grant you access to the Premium VIP Autograph Session on April 8th at 10 a.m. with Sting and Ric Flair. We hope you enjoy WrestleMania Access. See you there. That's pretty cool news. Anyways, back to what I was saying. You must enjoy things as a fan. Don't overanalyze. Just enjoy. Have fun. Cheer. Get loud. Just enjoy yourself. Enjoy yourself, go to events, get autographs, just, you know, people like to knock on the fans, like, oh, this mark really came up to me and believed that I was this, this, and this. Something that I want to touch upon that. You can't change people in the way they are, in the way they appear, in the way that they behave. Let me inform those who are current workers, man. I know I'm not going to change your opinion, I know I'm not going to change your belief system, but I figured I'd, well, just breathe hot air on a fucking podcast. You were once fans too. You once believed in the shit that you saw on TV because it made you happy as a child. And then when you get older and you become workers, the attitude that was exuded or has been exuded or seen that I've seen on social media, including Facebook, including Twitter and Instagram. Oh, the mark's this, the mark's this. Oh, this mark this, this mark that. Not all, some. I'm not generalizing. I'm just relaying to you all what I've seen on my newsfeed on Facebook, on the pictures on Instagram. And Ronnie Nicole said it best. Are you a fan or are you a worker? Be able to differentiate between the two. Don't be an asshole or a bitch because I can't believe all these fucking marks coming up to me at the airport, blah, 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 blah. I'm so effing tired of this shit. Well, then get a security team, hire one because you make enough money to surround yourself so that you don't have to deal with the annoying ass people trying to wedge their way in to get a picture. Forgive them if they are fans of you. And, you know, you don't want to be bothered. I get it too. But also, don't sit there and be a jackass to fans who support you by saying, well, I guess the marks will believe in a guy that wears just blue jeans and a wife, blah, 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 blah. Yeah, we as fans understand that because Dean Ambrose makes a shit ton of money, whereas you work for a shitty Fed that really just believes in generic wrestlers who just wrestled back in high school or college and makes wrestling matches either boring or interesting with locks and holds the entire fucking time. So make the most out of this thing we call pro wrestling. As a worker, don't sit there on your high horse and believe that your shit does not stink and that fans won't realize what you say because, oh my God, they're the ones that buy the tickets because they have nothing better to do in Iowa or Nebraska. Come on, man. Secondly, as a fan, it's easy to overanalyze and get upset about one person. We all know who I'm talking about. You can either get upset about John Cena or Roman Reigns, but unless you have concrete reasonings behind why you fucking hate them, sit your ass down, eat your nachos, eat your hot dog, whatever, chicken fingers or whatever you eat, and shut your mouth. It's not a big fucking deal if they wrestle. And why? Because they got to fill the time somehow. So who would you fill it with? And then in other words, when someone cites a source, it's because they read. Dirt sheets, they kind of fucking ruin things for people, but some people insist upon an individual not being able to go because they're actually engrossed in the product. And that type of fan, it's nice to have. But on tomorrow's edition of Wrestle Radio, the Tuesday edition, Tuesday Shenanigans with B-Train. Of course, is there any day that doesn't involve shenanigans? Anyways, folks, I am Brian Rails from Wrestle Radio. Hopefully the weather will make up its fucking mind. I'm going to have a damn good time in WrestleMania 34. I'll take plenty of pictures, have plenty of fun. And if you don't believe in what I'm telling you, then I got three choice words for you. Forget about it. Oh, yeah. And I got to go eat. Toodles, bitches. Have a nice day, night, whatever. Look in my eyes. What do you see? The cost of something I would be. Just open your eyes.